What up, everybody? Welcome in to Locked On Warriors. Another good one for you today. Hope you all had a good weekend. Players get hurt. Steph came back. Coaches got fired. Players are still out. A lot of things going on. A lot of things to get to. That's all coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome in to Locked On Warriors. I am your host, Charles T. Hamilton. As I mentioned, another good one. Are they ever not? I'm sure they are. But I swear today's good. I swear. The return of Steph was a little anticlimactic. Not the triumphant return we expected. They do play the Hawks tonight. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But let's start with the game against the Pistons, because a lot of things happened there. Steph returned, and it felt, first off, he didn't have a great game, which, even though we're used to him making his return to big games and knocking down threes immediately and all that stuff, that's not normal. That's not what happens for everyone. And so for him to come out and have an okay game, it was fine. It happens. But it felt as if the team kind of leaned on his return a bit, to the point of, well, Steph's back, so we're good. And we'll just defer to him, and we'll make this happen, and we're good. KD, it felt like that a little bit, which is understandable because, you know, your two-time MVP just came back. But with the success they had the previous four games, maybe he should have been a little less deferential, but, I mean, that's all hindsight. Look, if Steph goes, you know, 15 for 21 instead of 10 for 21 and, you know, 6 of 9 from 3 instead of 3 of 9 from 3, it's a different story. But it wasn't. Oh, well. KD also struggled a little bit. He was 1 of 7 from 3. Klay was 1 of 5 from 3. So it's not as if anyone really had that good of a game to then think that, oh, well, if they did this different or that different, they would have been fine. They would have won. And on the other hand, Detroit's a solid team. They're a good team. They're 13-7 after that win against the Warriors. They have talent. Blake Griffin, Andre Drummond. You know, I don't know if you guys do this like I do, but I always look back at drafts and things like that, and I remember the Nemanja Nedović draft. They had a chance to get Rudy Gobert. And the Harrison Barnes, Festus Ezeli, Draymond Green draft, they had a chance to get Andre Drummond. And even though those are intriguing and everything, and like those are players I wanted at the time, it would have been Andre Drummond instead of Harrison Barnes, and it would have been Rudy Gobert instead of Nemanja Nedović. That one's a little different, though, because they traded up to 26 and then moved back a couple times, whatever. They had a chance to get Gobert, is all I'm saying. But then the hindsight comes in. Well, okay, if they did that, then would they still be able to have Durant and blah, blah, blah. But I just, you know, I always think about stuff like that. I'm sure you guys do, too. Maybe not, and I'm just a weirdo. Who knows? But moving back to the Warriors-Pistons game, I guess. Yeah, it was a tough game for KD, Steph, and Klay. None of them played that great. And that's where the loss really comes, is if none of them play great, then probably not going to win. And the funny thing is, their numbers were fine, or at least their final numbers, their point totals. KD had 28, Steph had 27, Klay had 21. But kind of inefficient on their parts. They were, what, 29 of 60 from the field? And 5 of 21 from 3. That's just not going to get it done from your top three players, especially on a team that's so top-heavy. Steve Kerr, we talked about it before, made the move to obviously start Curry, but he went back to Jonas Jerebko starting at the four instead of Andre, or technically KD, I guess. If you look at it, Andre would start at the three and KD at the four when they ran the different lineups with Quinn and Andre both in with KD and Clay and Damian Jones. Anyways, that was an interesting move on Steve's part, but it moved Andre Iguodala back to the bench, who is afraid to shoot. I don't know if that's the right way to put it. Well, yeah, it is. He only shot twice in 21 minutes against Detroit. Maybe he's just waiting for the playoffs again. Who knows? He's a guy I trust that when it comes time for him to be ready and to play well, he will. But it can be frustrating to watch it during the regular season when he's kind of coasting a little bit. Or at least that's how I see it, how I feel. I'm sure he would argue differently, but... And I'd take his word for it, because what do I know? But anyways, rest of the team, that's the thing. This game, no one really played well. And you look at things like Steph's return to be galvanizing and get the team together, and we're all going to play hard, or it's just kind of a cluster of another different starting lineup, different rotations, Steph coming back for the first time in 11 games. It's just, I don't know, they should bench Steph is what I'm saying. Obviously not. Haha. I'm hilarious. But yeah, tough game, tough loss. And one of the things that came with that loss was Damian Jones, who actually had a pretty good game. I know, look, he's been really bad. He's been really bad. But the thing is, they picked up his option for next year. He had a solid game against Detroit. It's been hit or miss for him in games, and probably more miss than hit, obviously. But he was 3 of 7 from the field, 3 of 4 from the free throw line, which has been a positive development this year for him. 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 9 points. But as I mentioned, they picked up his option for next year, and even though a lot of it's been bad, they were going to develop him, hopefully. At least his time on the court in the NBA, because technically this is his first year playing in the NBA. He's been in the G League the last 2 years. This would move him along, help develop him, help him progress. But the problem with that is he tore his pec. And I say it like that because I just realized I don't know exactly what the injury is off the top of my head. But he is out for basically the remainder of the season, which really sucks. For him, for the Warriors, it's not great. Yes, it is a left torn pectoral muscle. He tore his right pec in workouts leading up to the draft, the year he got drafted, which is too bad for him, for the Warriors, like I said. And it's too bad for the Warriors because they picked up his option next year and they were hoping to develop him. But now he's out. And the tough part with that is Kevon Looney, Jordan Bell. Jordan Bell has not been great. Maybe this gets him going, the fact that he'll probably be getting more minutes right now. Kevon Looney has had good games. He's had some bad games too. And even when he's good, the problem is he's undersized. They're both undersized centers. There's no doubt about it. Now, when Boogie gets back, when Draymond gets back, that'll help a lot. That'll change a lot of things. But the problem is they're both out right now. So the Warriors do have an open roster spot still. And let's say they go out and sign someone or someone gets bought out or something. They still don't have to do anything with Pat McCaw until he signs a contract. And maybe if they sign someone into that 15th spot, that would force Pat to do something to try and force the Warriors to do something with him. Who knows? But the bottom line is they're thin at the five right now. And DeMarcus might be a month away. We know it's going to come after Christmas. He is ramping up his workouts, though, and is a full participant in all the Warriors' practices moving forward, I believe, was the report, which is a good thing. But unless something changes, he's not coming back till after Christmas, so that's at least a month away. And Steve Kerr, he mentioned Jerebko might be able to play some five. I don't know. In a pinch, maybe. Do you Maybe look at KD playing some five in certain situations. I don't know either. So the even though Damian Jones has played poorly, and trust me, I know he has, and as his biggest supporter, it sucks because I want him to be good, because the type of center that he could become with his talent would be perfect for the Warriors. If you look at a guy like Willie Cauley-Stein and Clint Capella, JaVale to a certain extent, that would be huge for the Warriors. But the fact is he hasn't yet, and this is just another setback. And he's on the team next year for $2 million, which, look, in complete hindsight, I don't know, looks like a mistake, but I also understand it at the time. He was playing well, and they don't have any other centers under contract for next year. Yes, it's something they could address, but at the very least, they needed to make sure they had one. They do. He's hurt. Won't be back till next season. Some other injury news came out, and the Warriors are taking on the Hawks tonight. We're going to talk about both those things coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. Charles C. Hamilton, what's good? Just finished talking about the Detroit game. It was pretty ugly. Not a lot of great things to take from it. I mean, the best thing to take from it is Steph Curry is back in the lineup and healthy. Didn't have his best game, though. So, yeah, I guess that's a good thing to take from it. I'll take Steph being back all day. But as I mentioned with Damian Jones being out, and something I've noticed all year, and I mean, all the years that the Warriors didn't have a center with a pair of human hands, is that it is so valuable and apparently kind of hard to find a center with good hands and the ability to catch and finish in the post by the rim. That was one thing. That was the main thing JaVale McGee brought, and he was damn good at it. He definitely had his deficiencies. Trust me, defensively, he was an absolute mess, but apparently it's a lot harder to find someone who can do what JaVale does, which is just catch the ball and finish by the rim than I thought. Because the Warriors, besides JaVale, haven't been able to find anyone that can do it. Look at Looney. Look at Jordan Bell. That was the other thing, too, the Toronto game and the Detroit game. It felt like there were six, seven different layups that they blew because Jordan Bell got skittish around the rim, couldn't cleanly catch a pass. Same thing with Kevon Looney and Damian Jones, all three of them. But now moving forward, it's Kevon Looney and Damian Jones. The good news is DeMarcus Cousins, when he does come back, those are things he can do. We'll just have to wait and see how it works out when he does come back. I think it'll work out great, but it's an unknown. So we will have to wait and see. But that's one other thing I've noticed throughout this season for all three of those guys, and just how hard is it to find someone that can do it? Apparently, it's very hard. So, just another problem for this dynasty. It's a funny thing to complain about when they're as good as they are. But anyways, moving on. They are taking on the Hawks tonight. Should be a quote-unquote get-right game. As I mentioned, the Toronto game, I was pretty happy with it. I mean, even though they lost, I was ecstatic. And then you had Steph coming back on Saturday, so things were looking good. They do lose on Saturday to Detroit, which was ugly, but you just chalk that one up to whatever, to the situation, the circumstances. They have two get-right games of Atlanta and Cleveland coming up. I had to think about that one. So hopefully these games go well. Hopefully Steph finds his rhythm. They will be taking on the reigning rookie of the month, Trae Young, tonight, who should be a fun matchup, fun thing to watch. As we know, he, you know, idolizes and models his game after Steph. So it's a nice little storyline there, a little piece. Steve Kerr did mention that Kevon Looney would start tonight, and he also had some things to say about the lineup moving forward. Here's what Steve had to say earlier today.
Can you hand the starting job over to one of the guys, or is it going to be kind of between, flip between Kevon and Kerr?
That's a good question. We you know, this is our first game without DJ, so I'll start Loon tonight, and then we'll just go from there. Obviously, we're shorthanded in the front court, and you know, otherwise Draymond could play some center, and DeMarcus obviously when he comes back. So for right now, it's Loon and JB. We could throw Jonas out there, but we'll just take it game by game.
So that was Steve on the center position moving forward with Damian Jones being out. And I'm just going to contradict myself right now because I mentioned I don't know about Jarebko playing the five. My concerns are size, athletic ability, etc., defensively, obviously. But as I think about it a little more, that could be an interesting lineup where you have potentially five shooters on the floor. Or maybe four if Draymond's out there. But that'll be something to look for tonight and moving forward until DeMarcus comes back, because it could potentially be something that might work well. But who knows? I don't know. And I just contradicted myself, so whatever. I don't care. Do it. Start Jarebko at the five. No, Looney's going to start tonight in Atlanta. Like I said, should be a get-right game for these guys. Draymond Green, though, is still out. And even though today Steve said that he's getting better, he's going to remain out for the rest of the road trip, which is another three games at least. Draymond has expressed a little bit of frustration with how it's gone, just that it's taking longer than he initially thought. And I can't help but wonder, and trust me, this is just one guy who yells into a microphone about the Warriors thinking out loud, but Chelsea Lane's gone. She was the head trainer. I know she had a much more detailed title than that, but she was the head trainer last year and a couple years before that. She had the post for a while. And some of these injuries have taken a little longer than I would have thought, or at least we get initial diagnosis, initial time frames that have seemed to go on longer than we would have initially thought. And again, I have no idea. I'm not a doctor. I only play one on a podcast. But it's something that popped into my head. And I'm sure it's nothing. I'm sure I'm an idiot. And I trust Rick Celebrini. I think that's his name. Either way, it was just something that I popped into my head. And in the same way that if you lose a player, you know, look, JaVale would be great on this team right now, but they don't have him. So in the same way that a player's not around and you know, hindsight, talk about the topic. That's what I'm doing with Chelsea Lane and the new head trainer. So whatever, take it for what it is, take it for what you will. But as I mentioned, Draymond's still out three more games, frustrated with how long it's been. Alphonso McKinney ramped up his work the last couple days, and he will be available. They're hoping he's available Wednesday against the Cavs, which will be nice to get him back as well, just to add depth to this team that seems to be losing it by game with Damian Jones going out and the injuries they had beforehand. One last thing I want to get to before we take another break is the Warriors are shooting less threes than their opponents this year. By an exact number, I believe it's 110 less threes compared to their opponents, which I'm not a proponent of the Houston Rockets style of threes or layups and that's it. I think there is a place for mid-range in today's game, especially when you're as efficient at it as Klay, as Steph, as KD, as Boogie when he comes back. But look, the math is what it is, and three is more than two, and you can't be getting outshot by three as much as they have. And part of that is the fact that KD and Klay are having down years from three so far. Steph missed 11 games, etc., etc. But at the same time, I believe the Warriors have more three-point shooting than they've had in years, maybe throughout this entire run with KD and even without him. They've never had a lot of three-point shooters, but If you look at what Alphonso McKinney's done, Jonas Jerebko, Quinn Cook, Damian Lee, that's more than they've had outside of the big three, big four, whatever, in 4 or 5 years. I mean, honestly, I can't remember the next three-point shooter they have. Maybe Ian Clark, maybe. So Steve Kerr talked about this after the Detroit game, and he blamed himself. Here's what Steve had to say on that topic.
I did not like our offense tonight. And I've got to do a better job. Honestly, tonight was, you know, probably a game that I could mark down as one of my worst performances as a coach, honestly. Every time I looked up, we had three guys in the paint. We got a little jumbled by the early foul trouble, and the matchups made it difficult having to deal with Drummond and Blake. So we got a little wayward with the early foul trouble, and then we had some combinations out there that we hadn't planned on going to that clearly were not effective, and that's my fault. But all in all, I've got to do a better job than I've done here the first couple months of the season. This is it's got to get better. We've got to get better shots. We've got to get more spacing. Get better flow.
Is that the threes mostly that you're talking? I mean, you're trying to generate more threes?
Or I'm just tired of seeing three people in the paint on every time we're penetrating. The paint is so bunched up. And you know, I know we're top heavy with our shooting. You know, we've got obviously. You know, some of the great shooters ever in our starting lineup. But we've got a lot of guys who are, you know, coming off the bench or even in the lineup who are not three-point shooters or aren't shooting threes. So I've got to do a better job of finding combinations that work and find spacing that works. Because right now what we're seeing is not working.
Now, what I like about what Steve said is, first, he took the blame on himself, which is probably the right thing to do as a coach. I think that's always the move as a coach, to take as much of the blame as possible and keep it off your players. But he talked about the rotations. He talked about the lane being clogged. And as I've mentioned, I think they have shooters on this team. Maybe you don't play so many non-shooters together. Maybe you don't play Sean, Andre, Jordan Bell, Kevon Looney, and Klay Thompson all together, whatever random lineups he's come up with. I hope this means, as he mentioned, he's going to look at the rotations, look at the spacing. He doesn't like that there's three people in the lane all the time, which is something he needs to figure out for sure. Because, yeah, it's gotten ridiculous. And he says they're top heavy shooting wise. And sure, I guess so. But on other teams, Quinn Cook is getting time, and he's jacking up threes. Damian Lee is jacking up threes. Alphonso McKinney, Jonas Jerebko. It's tough that Andre won't shoot him. He needs to shoot him. He needs to shoot him, or you need to find a rotation spot for him where he doesn't need to, because he's surrounded by other shooters. So I'm glad he took some accountability for it and is going to look at how to change it. And again, you guys, I've harped on this for a long time. All this season, Quinn Cook needs to get more time. He needs more opportunities, because this guy is over the last, I was going to say two, it hasn't even been an entire year. It's been 54 games that he's played for the Warriors. He's shooting 44% from three in those 54 games. He's 80 of 181. It's time for him to get a rotation spot, and to, if spacing is that important to you, I'll put it that way. Then you put him out there with Klay. You don't want to play him and Steph together because of the size and the defense. Then put him out there with Klay. Put him out there with Sean or Andre so they can handle the defensive part. And let Quinn get some shots. Let Damian Lee get more shots. Jerebko, McKinney, there's shooters out there. Andre when he wants to. So I appreciate what Steve said. I'm interested to see how he goes about changing it and making it not clogged. The lane not clogged. That was the main thing he was talking about. He didn't want to come out and straight up say we need to take more threes. But if you have a bunch of non-shooters out there and you spread them out to the three-point line, no one's going to respect them anyway. So I'm interested to see how he'll tinker with the rotation moving forward. It's been a tough run with the injuries and trying to piece together rotations. But we'll see. It's something to look for. Definitely something to look for tonight and moving forward. The good thing is they take on Atlanta and then Cleveland the next two games. So this might be a good time to try some things, not to denigrate any NBA team. Any NBA team can come out and, you know, put up 150 on any night. But the Warriors should handle both these games pretty easily. So maybe it is time you tinker with rotation a little bit. A head coach got fired today in the NBA, and there might be some ramifications for the Warriors. That's coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host. I throw like a Philly accent in there sometimes. I don't know why. Charles T. Hamilton. Finishing this thing up on a Monday as the Warriors get ready to take on the Atlanta Hawks. I mentioned a coach got fired today. It was Fred Hoiberg of the Chicago Bulls. And I'm not going to say long time coming, but it's just one of those situations where, yeah, the coach probably wasn't great. But at the same time, it's probably more on the front office than the coach. And this is a move that the front office makes to save their own butts for a little while. We'll see what happens moving forward. I don't know. I don't know about that team. Young pieces, but are we sure about any of the young pieces? Are we sure Zach LaVine is really good? I don't know. So the reason I bring this up, not just because it's NBA news, but because when it comes to the Warriors and the center position, as we know, Damian Jones is out. And even when he was healthy, I felt they might need to look for another center. They might need to look for someone a little more reliable to play behind DeMarcus Cousins. And as confident I am in DeMarcus coming back and playing well, it's not a sure thing that he's going to come back and be himself and play great. So Robin Lopez is one of the guys who's on my radar, has been. I think he's a solid center, big body, but he is also in the last year of his contract on a team that is headed for the lottery. And he's got a big enough number that they probably won't be able to trade it. I don't think anyone's going to take on $12 million of Robin Lopez's contract in a trade if they're looking for him. So the reason I bring this up is because you don't really know how a firing is going to work out. Does this mean the coach, the new interim guy, loves Robin Lopez and is going to play him more? Does it mean he's a guy who's completely out on him? Are they transitioning to all the young guys? You never know. So maybe this leads to Robin Lopez being bought out sooner, and maybe the Warriors can pounce on him. Again, reckless speculation on my part, but that's just how I do it. Tonight, league pass picks. I'm going to go with the Thunder and Pistons. Pistons played well. Thunder have been playing solid as well. I mean, the Schroeder move, which I laughed at and still has a chance to explode, has worked out so far. They've played well. And then Clippers, Pelicans, two solid teams. Pelicans struggling a little bit recently, but interested to see how they work these things out. Enjoy tonight's game. Enjoy the other game. And come back tomorrow for more Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You can't climb a mountain if it's smooth, right? You got to go over the rough spots. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.